The Becoming and Silence podcast is about awakening to the greatest potential you always were. Listen to teachings, interviews, and inspiring stories of others who have challenged the accepted, expanded possibility, and merged modern-day life with ancient wisdom to discover their greatest potential. When you become fearless, you become limitless. Now be inspired by today's episode. So in this series of the Becoming Unsilenced podcast, we're going to start a new journey. And this journey is once a month, I'm going to be sharing specifically from my life adventures and the things happening for me and how I am living my life based on intuition. This is something I've envisioned doing for a long time because it gives me a lot of joy to share my experiences in order to inspire others. And so that's what we're going to do. Once a month, you're going to be hearing from me about the journey of my own life and how it's intuitively unfolded in the last month. But to start with, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the last 3 months for me to kind of set the stage as we roll forwards. You know, there's a couple things I'm committed to. I'm committed to on this podcast and committed to in all of my work and communities. And that is one is using life situations as your teacher to awaken you to your greatest potential. Two, in 2021, I am firmly committed to inner alignment before I take action. And then three, I'm committed to living my life completely from a space of intuitively led inner guidance. Okay, so what do I mean by each of those things? So what do I mean by learning from life situations? It's just as simple as that. The situations that we encounter in life that either make us uncomfortable or make us joyful or make us wish we had something different, those are the situations that are here to act as a learning and a guidance system for us. But all too many times, we are all too focused on trying to get rid of an uncomfortable life situation and we miss the lesson in it. And when that happens, when we're too focused on getting rid of a situation and not gaining the lesson from it, we are guaranteed that that situation is going to repeat itself in some way, shape, or form until we actually learn the lesson, or we never learn the lesson and we just give in to living kind of a miserable repeating life. Okay. So real life examples of this are the nasty coworker that shows up in every work environment that you're in, or the boss who consistently overlooks you and your talents and skills, or the personality that kind of hooks you but keeps showing up in your dating life. Or maybe you've been in a relationship, a marriage or a relationship that's not been successful for whatever reason, and you've left that and you've gone on only to find another relationship that has very similar characteristics. That's what I mean by life situations. And we can either look at the life situations that are happening for us as opportunities to learn about ourselves, get the lesson so that we don't ever have to see those again, or we can get angry about them, we can reject them, we can complain about them, we can you know, complain about our work environment, complain about the broken systems, and put it out on everyone else instead of taking ownership. Okay. What is alignment before action? Well, alignment before action to me means that my inner wisdom on a subject and my motives, my reasons for doing something are aligned with my highest intentions or my highest good, and that I'm acting from that space. And if I'm not certain that an action or a decision is in alignment with my highest good, so maybe I'm feeling more like a decision is coming from a motive of fear or of panic or of insecurity, that any time I would sense one of those lower emotions, I'm going to delay taking action until I get to a space of knowing the action that I'm taking is from alignment out of my highest good and highest potential. That has some things to do with how our brain works. We have our the lower functioning states of our brain, where if we're in a triggered mode, a fight or flight, insecurity, those are all acting from the lower, actually the lower sections of our brain. And when we're in those lower sections of our brain, we literally cannot access the highest, most resourceful parts of our brain for decision-making, creative thinking, and action. So it's truly important to do this. If any of you are Bachelor Nation fans and you've watched the recent season of The Bachelor, if you would have seen, now I'm, my memory with names of is not good. So whatever the most current Bachelor was in season spring of 2021, you could see this happening for him where throughout a lot of the season, he was acting in this confident space from this higher space of alignment. And then in the episode where his mom and his brother came to meet the two women that were his choices, mom said something that triggered fear and panic in him. And mom said, well, emotions of love come and go, and they don't really last. And that triggered in him this great fear that he was going to repeat this, the situations that his parents had split and divorced. And he all of a sudden shifted to acting from this lower space of his thinking, from his brain. He actually shifted into a really significant protective, defensive stage. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in his behavior. You could hear it in his language. And all of a sudden he began acting from this space of fear. So if you want a good example of that, go check out Bachelor season 2021. And okay. And so then the last thing I want to say is living from a space of inner guidance. I truly believe that our intuition, whether you sense that in your heart, your gut, that this is what I call I'ms or eyes of my soul, where it's that true seat of our authentic self that is able to kind of see the path up ahead in a way much different than our physical eyes can see. And when we live from that space of inner guidance, we're going to be able to make much more authentic decisions that work out in our best interest, even if they don't make sense to the rational or logical mind. That doesn't mean you don't go through some rational or logical information gathering processes, but it just means that your ultimate decisions all and actions always come from that space of inner guidance. Okay, so the three areas of my life over probably the last year, I've known these three areas were areas where I needed to fine tune and work on things because I could just feel a nagging sense or this hook that I was always acting from a lower space, these lower sections of my brain in these areas. And those three areas are my behavior around money, my behavior, attitudes, and actions around money, my romantic relationships, and eating, and specifically eating, emotional eating. So I'm going to talk about those three areas. They might be areas that you've experienced too. And I'm going to share with you like what I've learned the last 3 months, my insights, and then where I'm at going forward on these topics. So the last 3 months, I have been called to a slower pace in my life than I've ever gone at before. Part of that is because I was caught in these really intense cycles of workaholism. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But I've been, was kind of brought into this space the end of November, beginning of December, of this space to slow down. And I had a really super wise coach that shared with me this idea that sometimes we really need to slow down to speed up. And if you bring this analogy to a car, if you're driving a car, you're speeding down the road at 80 miles an hour, and there's a sharp curve coming up ahead, you don't know what's beyond that curve, you best be slowing down, backing off. In fact, if you've driven on the hairpin turns in the mountains, which can be really intense, sometimes you have to slow down almost to a crawl to get around that turn. And here's the thing. When you're going 80 miles an hour, there's a lot of things blurred out. You're not picking up the details. You're not seeing the details of the landscape flying by or the cars going by you. But when you slow down, all of a sudden you can see things that you couldn't see before. And that's exactly what my last 3 months has been. It's been a cool, super space where I wasn't necessarily panicked about this slowdown in a way that I would have been before, but it's been a journey into introspection and being able to see some deeper patterns underneath this money, the romantic relationships, and the eating. So I began to see some patterns, some roots from this slower space that I couldn't see when I was, you know, this whole rest of my life, when I was going 90 miles an hour, chasing from thing to thing to thing to thing, I couldn't see some of these really deep foundational things that I've been called to see the last 3 months. So what are the real life situations that I have been facing during these 3 months of this slowing down that have helped bring some awareness and insights? Well, one of the things is that slowdown allowed me to, in January, be present for my family in a way that I never could have otherwise, while my father's health significantly declined and then he passed away in January. So that was one really key thing that unfolded for me in this 3 month time period. The next thing that was unfolding for me was I have maintained a private Facebook community that specifically was focused for women who were coming out of emotionally and verbally abusive relationships. And that community over the last year has grown rapidly. But yet I was feeling at odds with this community. Of my heart was kind of pulling me in one direction, but yet there's so many people coming into this community wanting to be served and needing to be served at this particular level, but it was feeling out of alignment with me. And so that was one thing that really was active for me. And then this journey of entrepreneurship, I've been on an entrepreneurial journey for the last 2 years of business building. And as at a space of evaluation to say, how is it going? Am I enjoying it? Is it working? What am I enjoying? What am I not? And is it the direction I'm going to continue going forward in the future? And then I'm about to be an empty nester. My youngest of three kids will graduate in June. And that leaves a dynamic open for me that I've worked intentionally the last 7 years to position myself so that when my youngest graduated, I would have the freedom and flexibility to go to a geographic location that better suited me. I love warm weather instead of, you know, the colder weather of the winters in Nebraska has been tough on me in some aspects. And so in this entrepreneurial journey, in part was taken so that I could make some of those decisions when she graduated. And then, of course, feeding into that decision is the home that we live in. It's a unique property that has some rental property attached to it. And so there's some decisions there about, do I sell it? Do I rent it? And on each one of these things, with the Facebook group, the entrepreneurship, and the house, seemed like I could get stuck in loops of my mind going around and around. And one day I'd be firmly convinced that one direction was right. And the next day I'd be firmly convinced that another direction was right. So those were kind of the life situations that were begging for my attention. And along with that entrepreneurial journey was a real thread of my fear of money in there. Because as entrepreneurship is, it's a journey of building and growing something to a place where it's financially stable. And, you know, that's a space that my business, although it's grown a lot, it hasn't developed the financial consistency that I wanted to see. So I was using that situation as an opportunity not to make a panic or fear-driven decision, but to say, what's this awareness right now saying to me? So those were the very active life situations for me. And I'm going to kind of share with you where I'm at on each of those situations as we wrap up the end of the podcast. But I wanted to now come to the key insights that I've gained the last 3 months during this slowdown to speed up. And a resource that I have been embracing during this time frame is Tosha Silver's book, It's Not Your Money. So this book has been active in helping me embrace my money mindset and what the money lesson was here to tell me. And she has in that book, it's called The Abundance Change Me Prayer. And I'll put that in the show notes. I was going to bring it to read now, but I forgot to do that. But The Abundance Change Me Prayer talks about being a conduit for abundance and learning to give and receive bountifully, learning to embrace the money coming in and not be afraid of sending it back out. And so that book has taken the energy in it is around, one, letting go of things in your life that no longer serve you from a physical perspective to an emotional and mental perspective. And then this idea of giving and receiving, that we're a conduit for abundance. And that's so opposite of what we've been conditioned for in our society, where we've been conditioned. You know, the United States is one of the most abundant cultures in the world. Yet, I would venture to guess that statistically, most people in the United States live from an extreme scarcity mindset, that they don't have enough, and that there's fear of somebody else getting more than them, fear of not getting their fair share, fear of never being financially secure. And I think some of those fears are driving some of the political unrest that we see, and also have fed into during our COVID situation. You know, those things have been active where, you know, if we were in a fearful place to start with, that fear has kind of been ratcheted up and been heightened. So I've seen some cool examples of money coming to me and then being able to stand in a space of not making decisions based on money, fear, insecurity, or lack, not making money by the decisions based on the balance of my bank account. Now, I'll tell you though, the balance of your bank account is not really a good indicator of how you're feeling about money, because I've been in my life where I've been literally broke and bankrupt, and it's what's triggered some really deep fear and insecurity for me around money. And I've been in a space where I've been in a thriving, abundant, you know, in a job that paid me abundantly, and with plenty of money in my bank account. But so it doesn't matter the balance of your bank account if the energy that you're making decisions with is still fear, insecurity, and lack. So one of my mantras or mottos this last 6 months for sure has been, you know, I no longer make decisions based on the balance of my bank account, but I'm making decisions based on this intuitive, wise inner knowing of my soul. So that led us to put new carpet in our house in a time that financially probably didn't really make sense. But the joy that that new carpet brought was just amazing, the abundant feeling that it brought. And then it's also allowed me, when some money has flowed into me, that my fear and insecurity tendency would say, I got to hang on to this money for fear that I don't get any more. It's allowed me to be in a place of giving to other people in their time of need. And that's felt really cool. And so standing in that energy of not making decisions based on that. And that was also, so when it comes to these things kind of active in my life, where around the entrepreneurial journey and the house, where I would have previously made decisions based on, you know, the business related decisions, saying, well, if it's not generating the right amount of income, then I must have done something wrong. I must be doing something wrong and made some bad decisions. That's what have been what my old mindset would have said. And then around the house, whether to keep it or sell it, I would have been trying to make a decision that would have protected me the most financially, or kind of been the most, I don't want to say the most secure thing, because usually the decision that we made based out of fear is actually the decision that shortchanges us. But I would have maybe made a decision to sell the house based on fear, just so I could take the money, the equity that I had in the house in it, to feel like I had some security back. So I was definitely determined in both of those situations not to make decisions from that space. So another lesson that I've learned on this journey is to be comfortable with uncertainty. trusting this path will be made clear to me, and that when it's time to act, I'm going to know exactly what to do. And in the meantime, I can explore my options without attachment to any given outcome. So that's what I began doing with the Facebook group. I began deciding, okay, something's, I'm at odds with it. And I'm learning to feel that when something is sitting crossways in my soul. And I know that you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, right? When it's just, when your mind wants to keep going back to and fighting and wrestling with something, it means there's something deeply at odds with it in your soul. And there's something to be learned there. So I explored, would I invite someone else in that had a better space of alignment to serve this group and the people in it where they are? And then would I pass that group on to them? Would I instead begin inviting in some guest speakers to do things? Would I maybe completely close the Facebook group? Or would I shift it into a new direction? So while I sat with my discomfort and uncertainty around it, I put those options out there. And then I took an action step to explore each of those directions. Actually, I had a couple people that came forward who looked like they might be potential people to pass the group on to. And then I began exploring, what would it look like to shift the group in a new direction? What would that look like? And so I began taking those action steps. And then I did the same thing with the entrepreneurial journey of my business. I began to say, well, what would it look like to continue on the same path that I'm on doing that? Or what would it look like to explore maybe finding a part-time position that I really enjoyed that would bring some, you know, financial consistency to an area of my life, to this area of my life? Or what would it look like to maybe consider going back into full-time employment in the corporate world? And, you know, that led me then, I'm not attached to any decision. It led me then to begin to look at the things that were exciting about each option to me and the things that weren't. And some of the threads that emerged for me were very clear, that there were pieces of my business that I really loved and pieces of it that I didn't really love. So all of these things were awarenesses for me. Okay, so another lesson I learned was an insight that came to me because of Tosha Silver's book, where one of the chapters in her book, It's Not Your Money, talks about cleaning things out of your home. Now, I've been on a journey the last few years to really minimalize. I've cleaned a lot of things out of my home. But when I went through this particular chapter of her book, my mind went to a box deep in my basement. And in that box, when I brought it up into the daylight, there was some old journals from my childhood there. And upon reading a few entries from, you know, the much younger preteen, teenage version of me, and seeing how that young girl was looking at romance, love, crushes, gave me some really key insight that when I was young, of course, if followed my journey, you'll know the piece of that was growing up in an extremely conservative religious group, and there messages around dating were just really, really bizarre. So I felt very like I had this really strong young love crush on a boy, but I didn't feel like I could share that with my family. I couldn't be authentic with my sisters or, you know, with my friends in a way that a normal teenager would be, because this boy was from, you know, kind of a different class structure within this group. And my family would have been horrified about that, said, oh my goodness, you know, you can't, you know, risk dating that person. And then if I felt, I felt like if I would have let that known, it would have been very, very shameful. You know, that if any of his friends found out, it would have been like very shameful. I would have been laughed at, humiliated. And when I could see those things, so the only solution for me in my 13-year-old brain was to keep all of that silent and locked inside. It's one of the ways that I was silenced by the culture around me and by my own choices in the romantic relationship area. So I can see how I've brought threads of that forward through my dating history in the last 10 years. And so that really gave me some insight into how in romantic relationships and dating, I was showing up still as this 13-year-old girl with these insecurities that it's not okay to share if I have an attraction for someone and I have to keep it secret. And that means I can't even let that person know. And then things, you know, attraction squirts out sideways in weird ways. So I don't know if any of this is resonating with you in your own experience, but that was what the insights were coming up for me. And here's the cool thing. Like as soon as those insights came up for me, I was like, oh, cool. I can see that now. There's no judgment. There's no shame. But now the curiosity is how do I show up differently than that? And some really cool insights came on that, you know, and one of them is when I feel an attraction to someone, I'm going to own it and I'm going to put it out there and I'm not going to be willing. I'm not going to hide that anymore and kind of let it come out in weird ways. And that kind of also tied into another really key lesson for me is I've had a lot of inconsistency in my life in a lot of different arenas. And this, throughout all of these insights tying together, I could see that those inconsistencies tie back to a really core need for approval in my life. You know, I wanted the approval of the people around me as a young person, because that approval was one of, you know, a positive form of recognition for me. And yet here's the thing, as a child, to get approval from the kind of overall hierarchy and structure that my family lived in, approval meant you had to behave according to someone else's ideal standard, and you always had to hide and protect what was truly happening inside of you. Just like that 13-year-old girl had to hide this romantic crush and attraction, that was, you know, was played out on a much larger stage and on almost every area of life. So what I learned was if you were getting approval, it meant to hide the innermost parts of you. And if you actually let those authentic parts of you show, you are risking punishment, pain, and humiliation. So in my journey to live an authentic life, sometimes I would see all of a sudden a flip would switch and that authentic self would go back into hiding. And I didn't understand that until these key insights came and shifted that. In my mind, if I could see that a business program that I put out there, or, you know, if I released some pounds and was looking more physically in shape, any one of those kind of approval things would flip this switch inside of me that would say, oh, you're getting approval. That means that your authentic self has to be in hiding. And once I can see those things, I can see that for me, the answer is unconditional love and acceptance of myself. When I can go back and say I can unconditionally love that 13-year-old version of me, that got so many crazy messages about, you know, whether it was okay or not okay to show her genuine self. You know, I can feel a lot of compassion for her. I can now bring her forward and say, you know what? It's okay. I'm an adult now, and I can now make adult decisions that I can bring in my higher intuitive self and say, you don't have to act that way anymore. It's okay. And now in the future, when I see approval coming in my world, I can just take it for what it is and say, I don't need approval to be okay because I unconditionally love and accept myself. And when that approval comes, great, it's there. And if it doesn't come, it, you know, either one is, doesn't impact me. And so it is going to generate a much stronger tone of consistency in my life. And then the final really key lesson was around no longer chasing things, but allowing things to come to me. And I wrote an article recently on this that I'm going to also link in the show notes so you can read more about my insights around that. So as we kind of wind down, here's the periods that I've seen over the last 3 months where I've grown. And it's so fun to see, to be able to see the growth in your own life when you've been working towards this personal growth journey, this personal journey. For me, it's been this journey to live an unsilenced life, an intuitive led life. Some of the really strong things I've seen is I'm no longer judging myself. My first core go-to would have always been to harshly criticize and judge myself. And that has really been dialed down to almost nothing. Not calling anything a failure. So in the past, I would have been, along with this judging, I would have said, oh my gosh, you made the wrong decision to go into business. You made the wrong decision to do this. And I would have been judging everything as a failure. And I'm not. I'm enjoying the lessons that I'm receiving from each journey that I'm on. And I'm seeing it as how valuable and how the next phase of my life couldn't really unfold to its greatest potential without these lessons and in the way that they've shown up. I'm more comfortable with being uncomfortable than I've ever been in my life. And here's the thing. If we say that we're only going to be happy when all of these things align in our life, that means that we're saying, I can only be comfortable and happy if everyone and everything around me does exactly what I want it to do. And that's not reality. So instead, why not get comfortable with uncertainty and discomfort and say, I can enjoy my life. I am enjoying my life no matter what the uncertainty is. My humor, my sense of humor is resurfacing. And you know, here's the key thing. I've not known my sense of humor very intimately. There's been times in my life where I've seen it pop up and come out, and then it kind of goes back into hiding. I'd have to really genuinely even say that my children have never really seen my genuine sense of humor. And as it surfaced a little bit this last couple months, my daughter has actually been like taken aback by that sense of humor. And so it's been interesting to see how she's reacted to that. I'm living more relaxed and joyful than any point in my life. And here's the thing, relaxing has been a key theme that's helped me to have these insights, because when we're straining, when we're intensely like straining and striving to protect ourselves or to guard ourselves from uncertainty, that's a fear-based response even of itself. So part of what I've been doing the last couple months is just watching my own body tense up. And every time I saw it tense up, just relaxing it to the point and then relaxing a little bit more. So those are some cool things that have helped me judge and chart my levels of growth. And then key resources that I've used the last couple months to aid me on this is one, intuitive journaling. I will forever and always say that intuitive journaling is one of the greatest resources you can use, a skill you can develop to grow your life. And maybe we'll do an episode in the future just only on intuitive journaling. Meditation and mindfulness is really key into feeding into that relaxation and that relaxed state of mind. And it's what actually allows your brain waves to pop up into the higher, more resourceful cognitive functions of your brain so that you can have these insights. And you know, this is a cool thing. Like, I feel like I've had more clicking and shifting insights and awarenesses in the last 6 weeks than I have probably the entire rest of my life. And it's cool because that means I'm relaxed to a point where all of these things can like click together without a lot of resistance, mental resistance and emotional resistance on my part. And it's taken some work to get to that point. Awareness is a really key tool. Watching yourself, becoming the observer of your life. And it's only when you can step back and watch that you can begin to see these patterns that surface on a greater level. Tosha Silver's book, oh my gosh, get Tosha's work. She is one of the most inspired authors and writers that I've read. And of course, Michael Singer, he had an 8-week class or an 8-session class that I've done the last months that has facilitated some of my insights. Of course, Eckhart Tolle, he's always stands as a wise individual in this. And then another resource that hopefully I'll feature in another upcoming podcast episode is the emotional freedom technique called tapping. So when we're really looking to release old patterns and trauma, we really need a coach, a guide, and some tools to help us do this. EMDR is one. The tool that I use in my coaching is NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, that accesses the subconscious mind. And then emotional freedom technique tapping is another one. It's where you tap on 9 different points on your body that literally and actually brings forward and releases stuck and trapped emotions. These are things, this is a tool and technique that is best used in conjunction with someone else helping you to access these areas. So EMDR, the NLP that I do, that's all work in the subconscious arena of your mind that you need someone else to help you do. Okay. So where am I at on these key things that I've, these key life situations? Yeah. And so this is going to kind of set the baseline for when we come back for our next conversation a month from now. So where am I at? Well, with the Facebook group, I explored these options of gifting it to someone else to let them lead it. I found someone I really wanted to, felt good about bringing in to do that. And then when I made the final offer, they said, nope, we don't feel aligned with it. And that, bam, that to me was the signal that said, okay, now you know what to do. You know, it's time to step up, own. This group reflects who you were 6 years ago when you created it. And now you're going to shift in a new direction. So if you're listening to this and you're not part of my Facebook group community, I invite you to come to it. I'll also put the link in the notes below that, because it's where I'm going to be sharing more of my journey, moment to moment. Like if there's some situation that comes up right now, I might be hopping on live to share about that. Okay. So that's where I'm at on the Facebook group. It's shifted in a new direction already. entrepreneurship. Well, there's some things that I really absolutely love on my entrepreneurial journey. I love doing this podcast. I love the intuitively inspired articles that I'm writing, which I'm going to create into a book. And I love teaching the lessons I've learned, doing that in a group format and individual one-on-one coaching. So I'm going to retain that, those threads I will consistently retain and move forward with, but I'm going to be doing them in a little bit of a scaled back manner. And I'm actively exploring some opportunities that have just come to me in the last couple of days in moving forward, possibly moving back into the waste industry, taking some of my leadership skills back there, or moving in some different directions. So that'll be some updates I share with you in the next episode about where I'm at with that and with the house. Okay, let's talk about, because the house was the other major thing. You know, I took some action steps there. I contacted some realtors to explore what's the sales market like? What would it look like? Could I get what price could I get out of it? And then I've actively taken some steps to explore, you know, if I rent out the space that I live in, what does that mean and look like? And do I have the support people in place to do that, given I'm not living in this immediate geographical location anymore? And so I'm pretty confident I'll have some news there to update you on the next time as well. So, and in the meantime, we're celebrating prom coming up this weekend, preparing for graduation and all of the unfolding things with that. So thanks for being along with me on this first episode of the podcast. I'd love for your feedback and insights on it. I'd also love for you, if you're listening on iTunes, to rate and review the podcast. And then most importantly, the only way we grow this community is by more people finding out about it. And so share this with someone who you feel is also going to be inspired by it. So, okay, that's it. And boy, that's we covered a lot of topics today, and I'm super excited to share them all with you and then to keep on a regular basis giving you kind of the life updates from Vicky's intuitive led living journey. So, okay, until next time, I challenge you to live an unsilenced life and to use your life situations to show you how you can awaken to the greatest potential that you have to fulfill in your own world. All right, talk to you soon. Thanks for being here. If you have a topic or question you want to hear more about, send it to us at the email below. Have an inspired day.